Hello, I'm Chris Mandel, director of the Sedgwick Institute. Welcome to this installment of Sedgwick Institute Live, where I profile influential thought leaders who make a difference and whose interests lie in the risk and insurance world. Today, I'm talking to Daryl Brown, Executive Vice President and Chief Claim Officer at Sedgwick CMS. Daryl's been in a variety of increasingly responsible roles at Sedgwick since 2001, including leader of the work comp practice and Chief Performance Officer. Welcome to SI Live, Daryl.
Thank you, Chris. Very happy to be here.
Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. So as I like to do, let's just start with the personal. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your family background, education. What do you like to do in your spare time?
Absolutely. So I am from the great state of Washington, born in Seattle, Washington, but raised in Los Angeles and have been in Los Angeles since I was 5 years of age. I did not study insurance. I actually studied business administration, got a degree in that field with an option in finance. And what I would say relative to my personal life is I really enjoy spending time with family. I really enjoy working out and eating a lot and traveling. And so I do lots of traveling for work, but whenever I can get outside of the country for personal travel, it's really something that I enjoy. So those are the things I really enjoy, spending time with friends and family and learning new cultures and exploring new places.
I've noticed your workout discipline. I think every time I've been at a leadership meeting where you've been in attendance, I've noticed you in the gym, running like a beast.
It offsets that eating, habit that I love so much. So
I understand. So what school did you go to?
So I went to California State University, Northridge. That's in Northridge, California. And as I indicated earlier, achieved a business degree in finance with an option, a business administration, BS in business administration with an option in finance.
Mm-hmm. And you, like me and so many others, didn't really necessarily think about this industry, but I'm interested in knowing how you got into it. So give me a kind of an overview snapshot of your career.
Yeah, so I actually started off being a collector, a lien collector for medical providers that provided services, and they needed someone to actually call insurance companies or third-party administrators to request funds for which they billed for services. And so I did that for a couple of years and then decided that I wanted to move into the actual insurance industry. I thought I wanted to be a, in the finance industry or in the accounting industry, and at some point in time I wanted to be an attorney. But once I started in the industry, I started off at a company called Superior National Insurance Company. Once I started off in the industry, I learned very quickly that all of my education and experience was very much applicable to what I was doing, All the lessons and education that I had learned over the years, I could very easily apply to what I was doing. So I worked for some years as a claims examiner and then got promoted to, obviously, a claims supervisor. We call it a team lead in our world today, and then a manager, and then continued to move up. So I've worked for just actually three claims administrators, Superior National Insurance Company, that's out of business, Gates McDonald, which is now out of business, and now I've been with Sedgwick for 15 and a half years.
So what was the background on how you got to Sedgwick? Was that the acquisition world, or did you come in separately? How'd that work?
So it happened back in 2001, Chris, and I was actually recruited to come into Sedgwick as an assistant claims manager. It was a somewhat challenging decision for me because I was a claims manager at Gates McDonald, and the position that was available that they were recruiting for was an assistant manager. But what was so appealing about Sedgwick was the growth, the opportunity, the expansion. And so I did make the decision to move over to Sedgwick, and within 6 months I was the operations manager of the Orange office, which was our largest office, obviously, in California. There were only two offices, one in Orange and one in Walnut Creek.
Very good. Yeah, I couldn't remember. I hadn't been around long enough to know whether Gates McDonald was one of Sedgwick's acquisitions back in the day or not. We do tend to grow by acquisition these days,
well,
among other things.
It's a great point. I think Cambridge had taken over a lot of Gates McDonald's claims once Gates McDonald, was out of business. But that was probably 3 or 4 years after I left Gates McDonald.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're in a chair now labeled Chief Claim Officer. Can you give me a little background on how that came to be created and then how you were selected for it?
Sure. Sedgwick is the largest third-party administrator by far. And we are in a bunch of different lines of insurance businesses. You know, we do property, we do workers' compensation, we do disability, we do liability, the complexity of the claims that we handle, started to become more complicated. And so there were conversations that I had with, at the time, Steve Penman and Dave North, that we really needed someone who was really thinking about the claim product that we produce all the time, who did that on a full-time basis because of the compliance aspects, the regulatory aspects, making sure we're meeting customer demands, making sure that we're growing our products, making sure that we are differentiating ourselves in the market. And so my job as Chief Claims Officer is to be responsible for the claim and making sure that if there are issues that we are creating for ourselves, that we're avoiding those issues. If there are E&Os that we're creating out there, that we're avoiding those E&Os by putting proactive measures into place, that we are correctly and accurately measuring compliance, that we're correctly and accurately measuring performance and outcomes, and making sure that the organization always understands that on any given day how the organization is performing in its core function of claims administration. So in my world today, Chris, I am responsible for Performance 360, which includes our quality program. It includes our complex claims unit. It includes our casualty practices and regulatory compliance. So really making sure that someone is always thinking about how we improve, if there are issues, working on solutions, to make sure that those issues are addressed and resolved and that we're always, a step above our competitors.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess that conversation you're talking about having with North, which for those listening, Dave North is our CEO and Steve Penman is our just retired Chief Operating Officer, was really probably what led first to the development of the Chief Performance Officer role, if I have that right. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think the Chief Performance Officer role was primarily quality and practices related, and then we expanded the role to Chief Claims Officer and built in the Complex Claims Unit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big difference is the Complex Claims Unit, but also that constant thinking and analysis on how we improve our business.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you mentioned the Complex Claims Unit. As I understand it, that's a relatively new creation within our system. Give me a little overview of what that, how that's constructed and what its purpose is.
So, absolutely. So we have Edward Canavan, who is our vice president over the Complex Claims Unit, and Marcia Nigro, who's the director over there. The reason that we believe that the Complex Claims Unit is so important is because we all understand the Pareto Principle, that there are a very small minority of claims that derive, minority of claims that are either complex or catastrophic that derive the majority of dollars. And again, given that what we do is claims administration, we really have to perfect it and do it better than anyone else. And that's our aim, is to make sure that we're ultimately looking to manage these claims, you know, consistent with our caring counts philosophy, and making sure we have the right resources on these claims. But in doing that and getting the right resources on these claims, and these are folks that we have in the complex claims unit that have, you know, many years of experience managing complex or catastrophic claims, we're able to organize and galvanize resources when we get these claims. They don't happen that often, Chris, but when we do get these claims, that we are in a position to really help get the very best care, get them back to work as soon as they can, get them back to full functionality as soon as they can, get them to the right resources, to the right center of excellence, that we have a structure and resources in place to make sure all that happens. It makes sense for, obviously, those that are that have these complex claims, either, you know, from a workers' compensation injury or a liability injury, but it also makes sense for our customers, because in doing all the right things for these claims, what we're effectively doing is making sure that we are getting the very best outcome for all the stakeholders, the employees, the customers, or our clients. So it's really just paying attention to the population claims that really drive those dollars.
Mm-hmm. You know, between that, between your appointment as chief claim officer, between your emphasis on quality and performance metrics and measurement and the like, it seems like, and I know we're both biased, but it seems like Sedgwick has evolved to a point where we've got as much infrastructure and capability around doing things with excellence as any of the biggest claim departments in any of the biggest insurance companies. Would you agree with that?
I would say that, you know, carriers, you know, traditionally have a chief claims officer, and traditionally they have had complex claims, some variation of a complex claims unit. But what we're trying to do, which is, I think, is a little different, I don't think a third-party administrator does, but what we're really trying to do is really focus in on what can we do to get this claim the very best outcome, the very best resolution, the very best care. And so it's not, you know, a department that's focused on large loss reporting or a department that's focused on coding. It's actually a department that's really focused on getting the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Which reminds me of something else you reminded me of, and that is caring counts, something that we've recently adopted as a formal way we talk about ourselves, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. Why don't you tell our listeners what your view of caring counts is? What does it mean?
Well, you know, when we talk about what it is we do, sometimes we describe it as, oh, well, we handle claims. And we have to take a step back, and it's not exactly what we do. It's a part of what we do. What we do is we help people. And so in that spirit, we have to understand that any time that someone calls us because they have sustained a loss, that something unfortunate in most cases has happened, and they need our help. And so we start with empathy. We start with that premise that it's not just another claim. It's not just another claimant. It's that we have the opportunity to help someone through an unfortunate situation, through a process that they have no experience, generally, ever maneuvering, and they don't know what's going to happen to them. And so with the philosophy of caring counts, if you can take that position that we are here not to just manage a claim, but we're here to help and help you through that process in a caring, compassionate, empathetic way. And so that's what it is with respect to, you know, the claimants that we help. But it's also with respect to, you know, how we engage with our own employees, our own colleagues, making sure that it starts with us, but we want it to sort of end with our consumers and our customers, because everything about what we do is about caring.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And I think it's making a difference already. So we've talked a little bit about what we're doing at Sedgwick, and it's a lot. I think we're really moving this company forward. And I wonder, though, what is your perspective on the claim management discipline in the next 10 years? What do you see coming, and how do you see it changing?
I think it's a great question, Chris. We have demographic changes that are happening. There are technological changes that are happening, and the claims business has to keep up or get ahead of these trends and preferences. Much like when you engage with your bank or with your airline, you want to engage with them in a way that you prefer. And so some of that will be self-service. Some of that will be, text messages. But I think from a technological perspective, Sedgwick is absolutely keeping up. But what happens is legislation or statutes aren't keeping up, and so we are limited in what we can do. That's one thing, is technology, making sure that most of our colleagues are not receiving paper checks. Most people don't receive paper checks. It's direct deposit. And so, unfortunately, many states don't allow for direct deposit. So there's a disconnect that we have to work, and be active in trying to promote change in the industry so that we can keep up with the preferences of, a changing demographic, or as the preferences of our customers and their employees and their customers change. The industry has to be able to keep up. And then, as the demographics change, I think it's important that we are in a position consistent with Caring Counts to be able to help our customers. So, millennials and other groups don't necessarily want to talk on the phone. So how do we communicate with them is very important. Or, there was a study, that the Workers' Compensation Research Institute did relative to the predictors of outcomes. And, one of the predictors of outcomes is, if you have someone, for example, where English is not their first language, then that could be a predictor of a poor outcome. Making sure that the folks that we have, our colleagues who are in place, help our employees, that they are positioned to communicate with them in an effective way, that's extremely important, extremely important.
Very good. So, Daryl, as an African American executive who's risen to the top or near the top, I'd love to know what your view is of those who would say minorities don't have equal opportunities in the workplace.
Yeah, and I appreciate that question. So I can tell you about my experience, how I have sort of, from my lens and what I have seen, over the years. And from my perspective, I've been very, very lucky, to reach such a high level within, Sedgwick, such a great company. But what I have noticed around me is that if what an organization values is they value someone that does a good job. And so we have to start with that. Do great work. If you do great work and you differentiate yourself at the desk level, as a claims examiner, in the file room, do a good job. And if you do a good job, the company will notice. I had the pleasure of serving, or have the pleasure of serving, as the executive sponsor for our diversity and inclusion initiative that we started a couple of years back. And we're always looking for opportunities to make sure that we have a diverse and inclusive workforce, because there are so many different reasons that benefits an organization. So my first point is do a good job, and you will be noticed. But from my perspective, it's been an honor to serve at Sedgwick, and I feel like I've been recognized, and I feel like the organization does a good job and has a really intense effort to be sure that we are being as diverse and inclusive because of all the benefits that it provides to our clients, to our customers, and to our workforce. That diversity of thought is so important. So, if you want to talk about our workforce, we have, our workforce is diverse. We have over 70% female. We are about 18% African American. We're about 12% Hispanic. We have a diverse workforce. However, we have this diversity and inclusion council for a reason, because we think we can do better. And the opportunity is making sure we have the diversity and inclusiveness at all levels of the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been in about six or seven major companies myself, and I don't think any of them have ever given it as much emphasis as I see here at Sedgwick. So it's obviously having some good effect. You know, as we kind of agreed up front, I think both you and I fell into the business in some respect, not necessarily having gone to school to come into it. But what advice would you give university students now who may be considering the insurance industry and or even the claim management profession?
So let me start with a different point, and then I'll answer your question. I think that the insurance industry has to do a better job of describing what it is that we do. And again, going back to that point about, you're going to be handling claims, it's so much bigger than that, so much more important than that. It's really about helping someone. So if we have a young, potential Sedgwick colleague out there that's thinking about, a field or thinking about insurance as a possible career choice, or if we have a new colleague that has started and they're thinking about, is this what I really want to do? Think about what you're really doing, and try not to think about what we've been taught, and that is that we're handling or just managing claims. That's not what we're doing. We are helping people. What we do, it really matters. It's really important. You are really, making a difference in someone's life. So if you want a career where you can make a difference and the work that you do is very important, and you also want to do a good job and you want to have the promotional opportunities, I think claims administration is the right field. I think Sedgwick is the right company for that.
So if that's what they think they want to do, is there one particular skill that sticks out to you as being most beneficial to people that go that direction?
I think you need two primary skills. You obviously need the requisite technical skills, but you also need the soft skills. You need the critical thinking. You need to have the compassion, the empathy. You need to be able to climb out of the morass of the detail of the claim and say, what's the right thing to do here? How can I do the right thing? What's the right thing for the customer? What's the right thing for the injured worker? What's the right thing for the claimant?
Mm-hmm. Very good. So let's talk about the industry just a little bit. So, work comp systems are under scrutiny and review by lots of different groups, from Congress to the media. Some think federalization of work comp may be looming. What are your thoughts about the state of the work comp industry and its future?
Well, I think the future is bright. I mean, I think that the debate that is happening right now is a fair debate. I think debating, the fairness of benefits, debating the cost of the system is something that we always should be prepared to engage in. And so to your point, we've had an OSHA report, that was entitled Adding Inequality to Injury. We had a series of different writers who, sort of talked about workers' compensation and opt-out. And then most recently we had a Department of Labor report that added, its perspective to the debate. I think it's healthy to have a debate. We also had some, court cases, for example, in Florida, relative to, the workers' compensation system, and we had a big case in Oklahoma. So I think it's an important debate to have. We should not be afraid to have the debate, because ultimately what we want, Chris, is we want a system that's fair. We want a system that's fair to employees and a system that's fair to employers, the two primary stakeholders, where mm-hmm. employees get fair and equitable benefits, where there's not cost shifting that's happening, and where employers, can provide the benefits where they're not unreasonable, where they're not unpredictable, and where they're not unsustainable.
Mm-hmm. Well said. It seems simple, but it should be an interestingly simple balance between the employer and employee interests, but sometimes it's not.
But, I think the important thing is having the discussion is a great start. And, you know, we've been propelled into this discussion, you know, by the different groups and reports. And I think it's a good discussion to have. And maybe net-net, you know, maybe there are changes, or maybe there aren't any changes, or there are tweaks. But I think having a discussion is a great start.
Absolutely. Well, I want to finish this by asking you, who's been the most influential person in your business career so far?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. You know, there are probably too many to name, but I would say probably the colleagues at Sedgwick. When I attend a meeting with our colleagues, you know, whether or not it's a sales presentation or a client meeting, and see how we engage with customers and prospects, it makes me better. Going through that experience every time for the last 15 and a half years, I get better. And so when I'm in a meeting with Dave North and seeing him engage and seeing how he manages certain situations, it helps me, you know, improve my game. When I'm in a meeting with Kathy Tazik or Scott Rogers and seeing how, you know, their approach to resolving a client or prospect issue, it really helps me elevate my game. And that's what it's all about. And that's what I get at Sedgwick is, you know, it's never, you know, static. It's always dynamic, and you're constantly improving because you have to continue to improve to make sure you're helping to, you know, address, you know, our clients and prospects' issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're both a little bit biased, but I couldn't agree more. I feel really surrounded by a lot of talented people in this company, and so when I'm in their midst, I feel the same way. So appreciate those comments. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we end this?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to have this discussion. This has been very, very, a very good discussion for me to have. So thank you for the opportunity.
You bet. Well, thank you, Daryl, for your time and insights. It's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Thanks, Chris.
To my listeners, you can find my and Dr. Richard Victor's speaking and writing schedules as well as other resources at SedgwickInstitute.com. Please consider joining the Institute's LinkedIn group titled Sedgwick Institute, where we dialogue daily on issues of importance to stakeholders in the risk and insurance world. Till next month, when we'll have our next installment of SI Live, when I'll interview Tom Perry, CEO of the Integrated Benefits Institute. In the meantime, I urge you to use your expertise and influence to make a difference whenever and wherever you can to make this industry better.